listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show.
Hey, everyone. Bing is for doing, and I am here doing, an apology for the Real Housewives of New York City comment I made last week in regards to our live read for iTunes. Sincerely sorry if I offended anyone. If you knew me, you would know that I was trying to make a metaphor that was incredibly unsmooth, came out really unsmooth, and wasn't very tactful.
I just want to jump in and say that Kristen and I have talked throughout the week, and she has really felt horrible about this all week, so... So that's it. So
Molly could vouch for me also, because I was also sending Molly texts of my sweaty palms.
Very sweaty palms.
So very sweaty, very sorry.
Very sweaty and sorry palms.
We hope you all love us still. We love you, that's for sure. So I will say right now, I don't know if this is the right time to segue, but if you guys do want to comment on iTunes, we would really appreciate it. It helps us here at AfterBuzz. Tell your friends, tell your family, talk about us over dinner, and spread the love. If you also want to download the iTunes podcast app, it's really helpful if you have a lot of podcasts you listen to. It helps organize all the shows into one place, so it's really convenient for listening. But we're here.
Well, thank you, Kristen.
You're
for
welcome.
Those of you listening, by the way, Kristen's a great comedian. Now, does it mean that every one of her jokes or metaphors are going to stick? No. And you know what? It just was one of those times where she tried to make a metaphor, and it just didn't work out. Things get misconstrued. So, again, I'm glad she apologized.
Yes. And if you want further information, there will be something on my blog very soon further explaining my apology. So, anyway, we are recapping episode number 11 of The Real Housewives New York City season 5, episode called This Party is Toast. And, of course, I'm here with the usual suspects. We have Molly Harper, Anna Koppel, and Yerman Gur. If you guys want to go ahead and give your Twitters, I'm not saying Twitter handles anymore because I don't like that term. We're not holding on to it. Anna?
Yeah, so you can follow me at Koppel for Mayor, KOPPELFORMAYOR.
And you can follow me, Molly Harper, at Molly Comedy. That's Molly with a Y, comedy.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Yerman Gur, YERMANGUR.
And if you want to follow me as well, you can follow me at Kristen Carney, but I highly doubt that will happen this week. Anyway, this episode, every episode so far, I've been sufficient watching it once and then moving on and taking pretty good notes. This episode I actually watched twice. I think was overkill. A little too much, but I had to kind of soak it all in, the arguments and everyone's different points they were making.
I kept pausing and rewinding, and
yeah.
Did she really say that? But, yeah.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, we saw, we had a lot of parties this episode that were all very full of, there were just tons of tension. There was never really an easy breezy moment, I think, with mostly anyone. We even saw Aviva getting involved in things, which, you know, she's usually kind of flown under the radar and kind of, you know, been able to be on both sides, but we saw her kind of getting ripped a little bit on this episode as well. So maybe we should start at Sonia's, as I had wrote down, Sonia's Photoshop, which was actually supposed to be Sonia's photo shoot. But Heather can't catch a break with Sonia in this instance.
Who wants to attack this?
Heather not catching a break with Sonia. Are you going to go ahead?
I'm going to go ahead and say that, honestly, I'm trying very hard to really kind of put myself in everybody's shoes, because there's a lot of my story, yours, yeah. Which is already, well, luckily for me, I don't really have huge size feet for a man. I'm only about size 8.5. So I can actually fit into some large women. Okay. What I mean is, I'm actually trying to put myself in the place of every single one of these women who all seem to have their sides of the story, but I am really, really starting to have trouble understanding some of their perspectives. And I'm really want to be all their fans, but it's making... the things are being challenged. And this is one of those instances where I'm not understanding... what I mean, I get the part about Heather seeming like she kind of wants to take over, or that is to say, wanting to give this thing focus and direction, and that may not seem to be, you know, Sony's cup of tea, in the sense that Sony feels like it should be her show and it should be about her. It is, after all, her brand and her launch. I understand that. At the same time, I couldn't get over the fact that no matter how you cut the cake, when you go to someone for help and you ask them for help and they help you free of charge, that you should do your part to kind of play along with them instead of assume the diva role. And that's all I saw on this thing from top to bottom.
She should at least be on time, at the very least. And the way that she just had a complete disregard for everybody in there, for every single person.
Yeah.
She's correcting the way the chicken is done, and which is, I mean, it's part of the photo shoot. Does it really matter, like, the recipe at the moment? And, you know, running around, how many times did she go to the bathroom? That was horrendous, by the way.
Yeah.
And seems to have, like, a total lack of respect for Heather, that she keeps, I don't remember the gentleman's name, his John, maybe, but she just kept saying, you know, well, where is he, and didn't want to do anything without his approval, but really, like, Heather put this together. This is Heather's project. So... I found it really offensive.
Yeah. You know, as I was reading, you said that you watched the show twice, and I went on all the women's blogs this week to try to get their perspective, and Carol was saying, Heather is a businesswoman who has 11 U.S. patents. And she said, do you know how hard it is to get anything from the U.S. government? And she has 11 patents. The fact that this woman is successful, she knows what she's doing, and that Sonia just kept undermining her the whole time. If I were Heather, I would have said, you know what? I'm out of here. I don't need this. She doesn't need it. She's not even getting paid. She had other business things of her own going on that day, as she said, two meetings that she held there on set. I just would have been like, I'm over it. I'm out of here. And Sonia, I just think she came across... to me, she came across just really stupid. Like, she had no idea how anything professional is run. Like, she had no idea how a set is run, or no idea how a business is run. And she just came across looking like total moron to me.
What I had trouble with was the fact that, in her opinion, that it wasn't the fact of her being stupid. Her opinion, as she was recounting the event to Ramona in one of the parties later, it was, she likes to have fun. She knows where her vision is. There was no mention of the fact that she was an hour late to her own photo shoot. No mention of the fact that, you know, Heather brought on an obviously accomplished creative concept artist on board, again, pro bono. They, you know, sat down, figured out some concepts. She didn't like them. She said, let's go with this, then made it sound like she didn't. Then they got to the shoot. Then she acted difficult. Then they, or not the shoot, they got to that second meeting when she brought Ramona on. Acted like all of a sudden they hadn't agreed on anything. Then they got to the photo shoot. She's 2 hours, or she's an hour late. She hasn't done hair and makeup. She's instead of being in hair and makeup, she goes directly to the caterer, who just needs to make something that looks good on camera. It doesn't need to have been done in her toaster oven. She's given him recipes.
This is all stuff that you can do to an extent when you pay.
Right.
And that's sure.
That's the bottom line. Like,
right.
This was all free. When it's free, you know, kind of like beggars can't be choosers, and you just kind of give what someone gives you, takes what someone gives you in that type of setting. If Sonia paid, like, tons and tons of money to have this brand sculpted by these people that, you know, that she...
Right.
She didn't. This is all, like, just taking too much. Like, talk about wearing out your welcome. It's like, right. If I go to someone's house and I'm starting to feel like, okay, you know, I feel like it's at that point where I already, they fed me dinner and it was pleasant and now they gave me coffee. You know, I'm not going to now ask for dessert too. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you have to know when enough is enough. And I just think Sonia doesn't have that barometer because she's so delusional and in her own world.
Right. And Heather even said something similar. She said, look, if you want to waste my time while you're paying me, that's fine. But if I'm not getting paid, there's an entire crew that's just waiting for it. It was
Here's what I'm going to say to that, too. It's kind of like, you know, with teaching, you always pay attention to the lessons you pay for. Mm-hmm. So in this case, if she's not paying for something, then she really doesn't care about their opinion. Now, again, I guarantee you, if she was paying these people, she would listen to them a lot closer.
Yeah, it's almost like because they're helping her for free, she's not taking them as seriously or treating them as the professionals that they are, you know, these really talented, creative people.
Right.
That's a great point, but it's super unfortunate. Because to me, my common sense would dictate that if I have someone that's supposedly as accomplished as Heather and a concept artist that she brought along, I would be like, I should probably listen to these people. They're giving their services to me for free. Maybe I should pay attention.
Yeah, again, it's just like this. It's a personality thing with Sonia. Yeah. Sonia, Ramona. And it's I don't think that I was won over at all by Heather. By speaking to her on the phone, this opinion just comes from like a purely kind of non-biased perspective of like, if I was looking at the situation from up here, which I am, just kidding, if I was looking down on it and didn't know either of them, I would definitely think Sonia is more in the wrong than Heather, not knowing either of their backgrounds or personalities.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you get picked up by a cab driver and you don't pay him, he's going to drop you off where he wants to drop you off.
Right.
Bottom line. You know, you can't really argue. But I do understand that it's her brand and she wants it to be the way she envisions it. But it can't always be that way.
Then hire a team.
Exactly.
Or don't hire a team.
And be the creative director.
Don't hire a team.
She had a creative director there. He's going to how it goes creatively.
If you already have your vision, if it's set in stone, you already have an idea, then why do you need a creative team? Just brand it. Package it and start selling it.
She doesn't know what she's doing.
Don't pull people into the fold if you already have an idea, then what are those people doing there?
Right.
Yeah. Well, the food stylist, I felt really bad for her because clearly she didn't really know what she was in for.
Right.
And she's there wearing her denim shirt with, you know, with striped shirt underneath. Very casual, down-to-earth kind of girl. And when Sonia flies in and says, like, did you watch my video manual or whatever it was, the girl just looked like, lady, it's like 6 a.m., don't.
Right.
Because these stripes will turn into daggers.
She does it for a living.
I mean,
she probably does this on commercial sets everywhere.
Yeah.
She doesn't need Sonia telling her how to make food look real.
She's the professional. Again, it's like Sonia's not trusting any of them to be able to do their job.
God, she irritated me.
How to make food look real.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, because probably some fake plastic stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah. But sometimes, you know it works for you. If I go to the hairdresser and they're like, this style, I'm like, no. I've lived way too long with this hair. I know what's going to look horrible. So maybe that's, you know, where Sonia's coming from. But again, the hairdresser probably knew better than I did. And that's why I ended up with my hair back tonight. the thing, too, with Heather is that she's handling it pretty well by not flipping out. I would have guessed that Heather's fuse would have been a little bit shorter than it is. Heather's really been, and again, she hasn't won me over. This is not because I'm Team Heather, but she's just taking a beating from these women. She really is, and she has just got the smile, and she's not moving or letting it look like it's affecting her. But, you know, so you can see her fuse is long. She's got a lot of patience.
Well,
I did notice she wasn't smiling and calling her baby mama.
No, at the beginning she did. Like right
set.
At the beginning.
Right. Yeah. Good morning.
Yeah.
But, you know, this whole, I've definitely changed how I feel about Heather, not just obviously because she came on the show, but the more I watch it, the more I realize that she is very level-headed. And everything she had to say about Sonia, I agree with, I think was correct. And the only thing about her is, you know, she got a little snippy with Sonia a couple times. Like she said, you know, I just don't get the feeling that you're going to let me take credit for this.
Yeah.
You know, considering how straightforward and honest she is in her interviews and with her own employees, and considering the fact that Sonia's not really a friend. Sonia's an acquaintance.
A castmate.
She's a castmate. She's an acquaintance.
Yeah.
They're not best friends. They don't have a long history. They probably met 4 weeks before this whole shoot even happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Sonia kept saying, we're friends. I think at that point, if I were Heather, and I'm a little surprised she didn't say something like, we're associates, you know, and I'm doing you a favor, and like, let's get it into perspective here, because she is usually so brutally honest like that. And I think that a little bit of her people pleasing comes in, and that's why she hasn't been so straight
Well, we have seen Heather not being very straightforward in a lot of circumstances.
Yeah.
Like with Luann when they were in London and she was trying to explain to Luann why, you know, women were annoyed with her and Luann wasn't getting it. Heather really beat around the bush, but Heather did say to the Sonia that you're referring to, she said, "I've been working on this for a very long time and I don't know if you get that."
Yeah. When she was talking about the dresses.
Right.
She made it, Sonia made it sound like Heather just might have just gone and picked up a couple of dresses at Payless right before showing up for a shoot.
Yeah. And what do you guys think? I mean, we saw the photo shoot happen. We saw set one, man's torso, Yerman.
It was my torso. That was me.
And we saw set two, which was apron laying across a toaster.
Oh, my God.
Which one did you guys like
better? That's a very good question. I really was curious. The first thing I wanted to do when I saw this was call you guys up and think and say and ask what you guys thought. What did you think? Which one was better?
I liked set one with the torso. It just looked better.
Yeah. It had artistic integrity, even though it was just a guy's pecs.
Well, yeah, but it also had... she's like standing. Why would you lay down next to a toaster oven? That makes no sense.
Right.
Why is she laying on it?
Right.
Why is she in this gown and an apron laying down next to it? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, that tells the consumer that she's been working so hard in her toaster oven, she's exhausted, and people don't want to work hard.
Right.
You don't want to have to lay down after you use a toaster
oven. You want to be able to.
You want to stand strong.
You have all three levels, so you can make chicken and green beans.
You can make at least three servings of something for your party.
Well, I mean,
three servings of cyanide.
From a male perspective, I actually didn't know, quite frankly, what a guy naked in pecs right behind a toaster oven would do for selling that toaster oven. However, I did definitely agree with the fact that, again, impartially speaking, that particular concept was just more polished looking to me than a white background with a purple dress and apron. Like, why bother dressing up in a beautiful dress if you're just going to throw a nice little white, like, old-fashioned matron's apron on top of it and slink yourself over a toaster oven? It just didn't seem, as much as she wants to be sophisticated but yet fun, yet sexy, it didn't seem those things, as opposed to the other one where just her facial looks, like you'd see all those facial looks that they grabbed. The photographer did a great job of getting some great looks from her. It just seemed like a more polished plus sexy you know, more well-conceived image. I just feel like from a marketing point of view, that's the one my eye would have gravitated more, even though, again, you know, for the record, it wasn't like, well, I don't really know what the guy is doing there, but I kind of understand.
Sonia has a little schizophrenia of the brand. You know, she wants to be fun. She wants to be sophisticated. She wants to be sexy. Uh-huh. She wants to serve four dishes in one toaster. It's like you have to kind of pick a thing. You have to pick an identity. And I think people struggle with that all the time, trying like, who am I? Who am I? I don't think she really knows who she is. However, I do think this episode she looked a lot like George Washington with the collars she was wearing. And I feel like she should have gone with that, honestly, because it was
nice
like her
call.
Look of the episode. And it seemed like, okay, that's Sonia. She's George Washington. That
or
makes sense. She's carrying a musket and a toaster. Yeah.
Or an ugly headband or hat from Russia.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think that with, as far as the photo shoot option A or B, I found neither of them enticing. The white backdrop was boring. Yeah. It looked like they were shooting like high school pictures.
Yeah.
And I don't get the message of the brand. I mean, what's the point? Which we've discussed at length, I think, before. But it was really funny on Carol's blog. She kept referring to the male model as big guns. And first of all, I thought like the guy had like the ugliest face ever, which is why they chopped him off.
But they got his mouth, and he had a decent mouth.
And that came
like
up. But thank God they chopped him off.
Right,
him
right.
Off.
Aww,
right.
It's
okay.
Listen,
come on. Well, if we can't talk about it on Housewives, we'll be talking about
it. Seriously.
It's okay, male model guy. It'll be all right. Dudes unite.
Yerman, the guy's making money for his looks. He's still doing okay, please.
Probably, yeah.
All right.
Probably.
And then the other thing was, Kristen said no.
Yeah, I wish.
Carol said, she goes, you know, this country only sells about 3 million toaster ovens a year. So why would you even want to break into that business? It's not going to be that lucrative. Like,
she's not cornering the market on it, you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, even if she does.
Yeah, I think I'll always
be... big business.
I'll always be baffled by this toaster oven stuff.
Yeah.
The first time I heard it, I remember just thinking, this can't be real. This has to be a joke. But it's not a joke. She actually...
But meanwhile, it's getting so much of our attention and discussion.
It is.
We're talking about it for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And we are going to get to the whole period menstruating antics at the end of our... at the end of our podcast, because we're going to do our special segment, because she had so many things that she shouldn't have said that she did
she
say
said.
That were hilarious and not funny at the same
shouldn't
time.
Shouldn't have said them.
Yeah. So then we go, basically, we're full of parties. From there, they did move to Carol's apartment, and Carol had already thrown a little dinner at the Hotel Grafou, which is a New York City watering hole. And Carol, I felt like Ramona was judging Carol from the instant she opened the door. I don't know if you guys were picking up on it, but Ramona had flowers. She had yellow flowers.
Mm-hmm. And that was when she came to Carol's apartment.
Yes, yes. Yeah, not to the dinner.
Not to the
hotel. To Carol's apartment. And I felt that's where Ramona was judging her from the instant she walked in, kind of like, flowers bring a little sunshine, like almost like her apartment would need sunshine or something. And then in the cutaway to her interview, Ramona said, yes, you know, the apartment did fit Carol's personality. It was like she wouldn't really compliment it. And then once she only had M&Ms out, I felt like it was like Ramona was just ready to pounce because it gave her something to complain about, the M&Ms. Right. I thought the M&Ms were a cute touch. It was totally Carol, and Carol has stayed true to herself this whole show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And who doesn't love pizza? Why didn't they order a pizza?
And they're in New York!
So yeah, get a pizza.
I have a quick establishing question for all you ladies. In the history or the compendium of Real Housewives and all the cities, is there a gathering that goes smoothly?
Mm-hmm. No.
No, of course not.
So every single one of them has some sort, because I feel like all these parties should just be called like
parties.
Should just be called like times when we all get together and something goes horribly, horribly wrong.
Right.
Because I'm like, hey, party, cool. Look, they're in a nice venue. Oops. Hey, they're in Carol's apartment. Uh-oh.
It's like they get dressed up.
Oh, they went to a nice place. Nope.
It's like they literally get dressed up to just claw at each other. Just wear sweats.
I was trying to understand. I guess that if you are an established person with means, then if you have a group of people over, that you should maybe think about providing a meal. But I didn't, and I'm reasonably educated in etiquette. I didn't read the Countess's book, but I mean, I didn't take the fact that she was like, "Hey, let's get some pizza." I thought the theme of the thing was to just get everybody together and have a low key event, not have a catered affair.
Yeah, right.
I can't believe she didn't have something prepared.
If you get pizza involved, it's almost like you bring the energy to a very comfortable place.
Right.
There's no competition. There's no pretension. We're having pizza and we're being humans.
Right.
And that seems to be very much in line with Carol's vibe. She just wants to be kind of part of the human race. And coexist, but I didn't understand why Ramona was like, "What? I can't believe you didn't provide food."
Well, can we just ask this question here real quick? Does Ramona ever change out of a cocktail dress ever?
A satin one?
It was lunch.
Sometimes
it was lunch, and she was wearing this exact same dress that she's wearing in interviews and out to dinner parties. Midday lunch.
But sometimes she wears all black, like pants and jacket and and boots.
Yeah.
She has that look, too.
Yeah, she has two looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's
she's not like us with multiple looks.
Right.
For those of you who are paying attention, we have our hair back and glasses on tonight.
Exactly.
We have lots of looks.
Yeah, we have 20 looks to go through here for these episodes.
Yeah.
Well, on Carol's blog, she was saying how some of the women were giving her flack, and she just said, you know, I'm very much of a pizza on the fly kind of girl. And she said, when I do a catered event, I don't host it at my home. Rather, I'll organize something lovely like she did at the hotel.
Right.
And she put out name cards and everything. I mean, it was like
a perfectly cute little affair.
And Carol can order pizza because she is so classy. It's not like she's gross and dingy all the time and just has like pizza boxes laying around.
And I'm sure when we say order pizza, we're not talking about, she's not going to call up the local Papa John's at the corner. I'm sure they're going to get like nice artisan pizzas from some nice New York pizza joint. I mean, we're talking about New York pizza. It's one of the most famous styles of pizza in the world.
Yeah. Well, I'm almost glad, though, that it backfired on the ladies because the guy only brought one salad instead of four.
Yeah.
I was like, yay, guy. That's karma for the ladies.
Yeah, karma for
How would you guys like karma in your salad?
But I felt bad for Carol because I felt like she got really anxious once that happened.
Yeah, I did too. And you could tell she was trying to explain herself.
Right.
So this is where they bring up the conversation of going to St. Bart's. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't think of a worse name for a lovely island than Bart. It just sounds so horrible. Anyway, I know it's lovely.
Mm-hmm. I will let the St. Bart's government know that you want a name change.
It's a bad name. It's a bad name.
Okay.
So this is where Ramona gets into Aviva for her anxieties over traveling. And I read Aviva's blog, and Aviva said, you know, Ramona likes to use my disability and my anxiety when it benefits her and the situation she's in, which I can see. But I just, for the love of God, I feel like I just want Aviva to just, I almost feel like she's using the anxieties as an excuse to just not tell the ladies, listen, I don't want to be stranded on an island with you.
Yeah.
That's her. I feel like this is her out.
I
think she has anxieties, but I think she's using them to, you know, avoid these women, really.
I think she doesn't want to be with them for 4 days or whatever. And I thought she, I mean, I've done that.
Yeah, me too.
I've made up excuses that made me sound pathetic so that I could get out of something socially that I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was kind of like whatever I have to say to get out of this. I mean, I think that most of us who are invited to so many things that we have to reject them from time to time have done that. So I could relate to what she was doing. Because it's a little awkward to be like, I don't want to go.
Of course it is. But at this point, it's like, I wish Aviva in the camera in like the interviews would be admitting to that.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes
it's like the white elephant.
She may not realize that. Sometimes, you know, anxiety is fear or some sort of feeling that's coming up and we're not really sure what it is, but our body's reacting. And so she might not even connect those dots right away. I'm having anxiety at the thought of being with all of you. That might not occur to her right away. It could be like in retrospect that that's what it was. But, you know, when you're just put into the situation, you don't necessarily have the complete forethought. Yeah.
Got the feeling as well that that I don't think she planned on using like her anxieties as another excuse. I think she thought she was gonna get a. I mean, it's actually the age old wisdom. Like, if you can't do, if you don't want to be involved in something, usually you blame like, well, can I bring my boyfriend / girlfriend / husband, wife, whatever? You try to bring them in the mix and kind of divert blame for whatever your inability is or desire not to participate in something. You defer it to someone else. But then they're like, Carol was like, actually, if you bring your husband, I don't really care. She's like, uh-oh, default, plan B. Okay, yes, I feel a little uncomfortable going in the plane. I don't know about being on a deserted island. So she kind of had to fall onto plan B. It should have just been enough to be like, well, can my husband come? Well, no, it's a girl's night. Well, then I can't go. Then she should have been like, okay, I'm good.
Right.
But then it kind
of... it's almost like a social pressure.
Right.
She's like at the peer pressure going at, you know, in the 40s.
Yeah,
it still
poor thing. She had to come up with opposite plans.
I know I'm speaking, and definitely Molly would be speaking. I'm not sure, maybe, I shouldn't say definitely, but from... I'm very antisocial.
Uh-huh.
I use things like that as excuses to not have to interact with human beings.
Hmm.
And so I really genuinely feel like that's Aviva's MO.
Yeah.
And I'm not judging it because I do it, you know. And I just, again, I wish in the side interviews she would just own up to it. It's tough to be with, you know, five women that are loud and obnoxious.
Especially when you have a hunky husband like Reed. You know,
yeah.
For those of
Stay
us
with
Reed. Hunky husbands, I can relate to that. I actually kind of.
Wow, you're just coming up with a 1-2 punch tonight. Just so you know, my husband's hot.
I was actually thinking that. I mean, as corny as it is, when she said, "I miss my husband when he goes to work and he misses me," I was like, "I mean, I can relate to that." I don't know about all you guys, but sometimes I don't want to be away from my husband for a prolonged period of time.
And what was Sonia's criticism? Like, if you can't be away from your husband for a period of time, that's not sexy.
Well, also,
you know how to lose a husband.
Would you three please explain that comment to me, ladies' perspective? Go.
Well,
what is
she has a sexy J in her name?
Okay.
So let's start with that.
Okay.
No, I think Sonia thinks that once you're married, you still have to play hard to get and be unavailable, and it's. I understand where she's coming from, but I think it's really unhealthy.
Huh.
And Aviva pointed out that Sonia lost, Sonia lost her, on her blog, Aviva pointed out that Sonia lost her husband basically to like a girl's trip.
Yeah.
So Aviva's like, I'm not taking advice from Sonia with the J.
Yeah.
Definitely. But
Sonia with the J.
Her new nickname.
But going back to the anxieties, how she always does blame it on her anxieties, like she did with the London trip. She said, I don't like to fly alone. And when I fly, I have to fly with my sister or something. I understand that she has had gone through something very traumatic in her life, which she brought up in her blog as well. But I don't get the relation between that and flying, which she's never made that connection. Like
small
she's never
spaces.
Said,
yeah, she's so made that connection
spaces.
To small confined spaces. So it's
Got
not
it.
It's not exactly claustrophobia that she's really kind of admitted to having or said that I definitely have that disorder, but it has kind of made her sensitive to confined smaller spaces.
And I think also where she doesn't have control in the situation, there's no way for her to like just get out of that airplane if something goes wrong. So I think that's part of it.
I'm at the point where I'm going to just start bringing my own parachute.
Yeah,
I'm convinced that I'm going down in a plane. I got to do something.
Oh,
I did want to say that I'm really afraid of flying. M&M's, the scene with the M&M's, you know how we're talking about their brands? We're getting fed their brands? Well, we were literally getting fed their brands. It was Yummy Tummy.
I love it.
all of what the women
Sonya
had.
She did one step ahead.
Sonia Pino or whatever wine she had put on the on the M&M. So
it's funny.
That was a cute gesture too. Like that's not like a pretty penny to. It's not like $5 at a dollar store to get special M&Ms made.
Yeah.
No, it's like $49.99.
The way I do is just.
Plus shipping.
An investment.
Yeah,
plus shipping. It's better than using a Sharpie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you can get them on Amazon.
Nicely.
No. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe you can. I'm not exactly sure. But
basically, we're not going to order any.
Yeah. All right. I mean, you can, but if you want to. So Ramona, okay. We get to Ramona's launch for her wine, her Pinot. And
no.
Yes.
Ramona Red Wine was the launch.
Pinot.
It's called Ramona Red Wine.
Oh, it's not.
It's that generic.
Oh, right. Okay, it's red wine. I was thinking it was Pinot Noir because she has a Pinot Grigio.
No, it's just Ramona Red Wine.
It's got to be a blend.
And it just sounds like most horrific, generic red wine. It's like she's got one white wine, which is the Pinot Grigio, and then the
worst red wine. White wine.
And the crappiest red wine known to man.
Yeah. Well, okay, she gets upset. Okay, so we walk in and we see there's the two magazine covers.
Magazines nobody's heard of.
That no one's heard of. And so Ramona's upset about the sizes. You know, she hassles the women like she did before when she was doing her talk at the Annex about the table. She's hassling these poor women whose job it is to just cater to her needs. And she was upset about the size of the magazines. One was smaller, one was bigger. She wanted both the same size, but I was thinking like, well, they spent so much time photoshopping these photos that they didn't have time to crop them to the right sizes. Mm. It didn't even look like her.
Not even a little.
I had no idea. I thought to myself when they showed that shot, who are these women on this magazine cover? Because it didn't look like anyone on the show.
The one that was called J'adore, like J'adore by
Dior. The one on the right.
Yeah, the one on the right. Looked like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, and her daughter Avery.
Who kind of looks like Taylor Swift.
Right.
It totally looked like her.
But not as pretty.
Yeah. I mean, it was... they were just so over-photoshopped that it's almost embarrassing for the person involved.
Oh,
because you don't want people to be surprised when they see your photo and be like, oh my... Is that you? Weird. Yeah. You know, like, if you post a photo on Facebook and someone's like, when did you get so photogenic? It's like, that's insulting. You know, if I...
Right.
So, I felt embarrassed for her. But, you know what? She's at this party. It's her own party. And she's causing fights and trouble. Mm-hmm. At her own party. At your own special bash.
We should call them feuds. Would you like to come to my feud on Saturday night?
Yeah.
It's cocktail attire.
That would make me feel a lot more comfortable because then I could just get emotionally prepared for what I'm about to watch. Because they say, hey, we're at the party. We're going to have a good time. And I think, okay, maybe something nice will happen. No, not in this one. Okay.
Mean.
Yeah.
Never.
Well, Sonia...
Most not fun parties ever.
Sonia was definitely playing both sides of the card at the beginning with Ramona. Sonia definitely wanted Ramona at that photo shoot, but Sonia didn't speak up to Heather about wanting her. So then when Ramona asked Sonia about the feud, Sonia really said, you know, I was steamrolled. But it's like, well, actually, I mean, kind of, but you went in there with a steamroller also, and they were like two steamrollers just kind of going clunk, clunk, clunk together. And no one really steamrolled anybody because you were both, I felt like, trying, you know, Sonia being late and all of that and doing her own thing, and then Heather kind of controlling it. I feel like the two of them just did their own steamrolling on themselves.
Yeah, you can't play the victim when you're asking for favors.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a really, honestly, it's a really difficult thing to watch from a social point of view on the outside. I, in a sense, get the fact that, you know, everyone's talking about how everyone should just keep it real and just say what they need to say or mean to say and say it directly. But I also appreciate the fact that in those situations, it is really difficult to just tell things straight up to people. It's hard to watch how badly that line is botched from start to finish in these feud/party situations, because I didn't for the life of me understand what Sonia was actually just thinking about or wanting, because she kept saying different, she just couldn't get out like one complete sentence as to like, this is what I wanted, this is what happened. It was talking to you one thing and then, you know, talking to you about the other, or, you know, when I'm looking on in Molly's I go, but it was really difficult. Heather was confused. Sonia didn't know what to say. Ramona's flying off the handle. Everyone has a point, but no one wants to actually just say what they mean to say. Instead, everyone's just getting angry at each other. It just made no sense.
I don't think Sonia would be as upset about the way it went if they had kissed her butt. they didn't treat her like the queen. They right. kind of were like hustling her along, like, let's go, let's get out of here, let's do this.
Because they were doing it for free.
Right, but right. I guarantee if they were like, what can we get you? What do you need? Are you feeling okay? Can I change your tampon? I'm sure that they would have won her over and she would be saying great things left and right. But she yep. was treated like a civilian, and I don't think she's cool with that.
Well, the other crazy thing at this party was that Ramona said to Heather, you should have called me to let me know I wasn't invited to set.
What?
Why?
What? Yeah. Why?
When has that ever happened? When have yeah. you all been like, excuse me, hi. Hi, sweetie. I'm not inviting you. Just wanted to call and let you know. Bye.
That
click.
Would be a lot of calls to make.
Yeah. And Heather was like, that was not my place. And, you know, it wasn't her place. And Heather and Ramona is crazy. First of all, can you imagine how Ramona would have reacted if Heather had made right. that phone call? And secondly, they're not good enough friends. Like, if we're best friends, I can maybe make that phone call and be like, look, Kristen, just between you and me, I know how you get sometimes. Don't get your feelings hurt, but you're not invited to set. That's one thing. But to somebody you're not friends with, please.
I don't know right. if I'd still do that, even if I were
me neither.
Friends. Again, it was Sonia's call. It was Sonia's call.
Crazy.
It should have just been like, well, we don't want her. If that's what she wants to communicate to Ramona, then she should communicate to Ramona. At that yeah. point, as Heather, even if you were friends, would you want to get in the middle of that? No.
No.
You'd be like, talk to Sonia. I was just there to right. set up the photo shoot and to make sure it ran smoothly. That's well, it.
Yeah. And P.S., have you heard of a closed set? Usually mm-hmm. people aren't allowed on the set anyway because...
It's not like bring your best friend to work day.
Right. And because Ramona obviously would be having her Ramona antics and... Trying
yeah,
to direct
I mean,
the photo shoot.
The bottom line is that, I've said this before, I feel like Ramona has a good head on her shoulders, except she just uses it in the wrong way. But I feel like in this she was totally way off, because she knows, and everybody knows, that if Ramona is on set, it's going to take them more than twice as long to get through the shoot.
Right.
And Ramona's well aware of that. As an adult, you could say, you know, I know if I came, I would probably be screwing the timing up, and I'd get people really upset and off schedule, and it would be really immature, the whole thing. But she hasn't been able to say that, and that I feel like maybe would have been the Ramona that I would have known from the seasons prior to this one.
Are you still trying to say thank you?
Absolutely
exactly.
not. I'm trying to say sorry. Did I mention that earlier? Anyway, I think Ramona just has lost her wits.
She's crazy.
So when she approaches Heather at her own party, she does, the crop dusting of the fighting, where she just goes and then runs.
Yeah.
Goes and runs.
And she's saying that that's progress for her. The old Ramona
right.
would have stood here and thrown wine and yelled and, fine, do that.
I would actually prefer that.
Yeah.
I honestly would prefer that. At least that's standing your ground and making
right.
a place for yourself instead of, you suck. And running away.
Right.
And then walking up to somebody else. They suck. And then running away.
I feel like Ramona in the season just reminds me of like a bee. And it's just like buzzing in your ear. And you just want to like swat it. And you can't yeah. get it. And it's just there. And it's in your food. And you're like, oh, I'm allergic to you. I'm going to swell up.
Ramona would have shown up at the photo shoot and started making the caterer feel like she's like her personal slave. Like, you're using the toaster oven wrong.
Right.
Hey, let's just move from the toaster oven. Did you bake the chicken yet? Did you serve the wine? And you're like, what? Or what are you doing? Just
right.
hang out at the seat right there next to the director and say, that looks great.
Yeah.
I just think that Ramona and Heather need to have a giant volcanic blow up to get past any of this. Because
really?
it's just these little like poofs of fight. Like poof, poof,
but
poof.
But the thing is, it's all Ramona. I don't even think Heather wishes to have a conversation with her.
No.
And
no,
if they were to have a conversation, I think Heather would do it very level-headedly. Like she even said to Ramona, like at the other party, you know, you don't even have the balls to confront me. You just drop a bomb and walk away. Heather's just very even-keeled about the whole thing because she's not emotionally invested.
No, she's not at all.
She could care less about Ramona.
Yeah. Well, actually, I get the feeling that she's also acting the way she is because, A, there's a certain professionalism, a sense of professionalism that's entering in her. So she doesn't want to necessarily be – she doesn't want to fly off the handle. There's a certain, obviously, obligation to continue to interact with these people. I don't know that if she wasn't in the show and had agreed to do the show that she wouldn't necessarily have said – I'm F this on mobile like a long time ago.
Yeah.
I get the feeling that she's just trying to find her way as best she can, but she's having a lot of difficulty because you can just tell like in her mind at some point she's going to see red, and you're like, I am one shade away from just losing it. Yeah. And then all, like, the ghetto fabulous speak is going to come out, and she's going to just start berating everybody around her. But
well, speaking of ghetto fabulous, we saw Heather in two kind of ghetto fabulous shirts.
They were so 2000. They looked like exactly how I dressed.
What did it say on the back of the Drop Dead t-shirt?
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Okay, thank you. I couldn't see on my TV.
I wish it said Drop Dead and on the back said Ramona. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
So she was wearing that shirt at the last party, which was Ramona's friend's party. And, you know, going in there, you have to know, this is Ramona's friend. I'm going to be in a fight with this friend of who's throwing the party.
It
was Sonia's friend.
It was Sonia's world-class traveling
friend. I was thinking it was Ramona's world-class traveling friend. But the same... So this started with Aviva, Miss Aviva getting all sassy and kind of causing some drama.
She put on that red lipstick and she wanted to cause some fight.
So when she said something to Luann, again, I feel like, and you know, when we talked to Aviva, she said, I'm not a pot stirrer. But right. I think what leads on to maybe someone like me thinking she's a pot stirrer is that she doesn't seem to have a transition into when she brings something up. She brings things up out of the blue, which makes it seem like it's starting to pop.
Like if the first thing she said, hi, Luann, how are you? By the way, so why did you do that?
Right. If it came up in conversation, it would go, you'd think, okay, this is the natural way to talk about it. But when it's like so out of the blue, you're like, okay, she's trying to get it stirred a little bit. Right. Or maybe she wanted to get it off her chest, but I feel like she has to find a smoother way, as I do, to say certain things. And when Jock came over, I felt like, the whole thing about the wine, I feel like was wrong. I think they were trying to trip her up. I think it's just mean girl behavior, mean boy behavior, and they're not admitting to it, which annoys me. If they owned up to it, I would like Jacques and Luann a lot better. But they're not owning up to it, which I think is only making them look worse in the situation. But when Jacques went over and played the piano while Aviva was talking, that made me mad. That made me incredibly mad. Because Aviva was, regardless if you want to talk about it or not, it's embarrassing when someone's talking and you just walk over and play the piano over what she's saying to minimize what she's saying and to make her look silly. That made me mad, and I don't have a fond spot in my heart for Jacques right now. I know I read Aviva's blog, and
she loves him.
And she loves him, but I think it's because Aviva had a falling out with Ramona, so she's on the opposite side of the spectrum now. So she wants to be friends with Jacques and Luann.
It just seems to me like when Aviva brings these things up, and this is how I felt at the beginning of the season, and then when we talked with her, my feelings about her changed a little bit, but now I feel like I'm starting to feel how I felt about her at the beginning of the season. And when she brings up these things, like how she did to Luann, it just seems to me like she has nothing else to talk about. Like, hi, Luann, I see you. There's a camera on my face. I should say something, and I don't know what else to talk about, so I'm going to just bring this up.
Yeah.
I mean, and it comes across so awkward, and like you said, without any transition. But Luann's defense was that Aviva should have some sense of humor. She says, how can she not laugh about the wine thing? She's got a father that just sits there making crude comments all day, which she thinks are hilarious. Well, first of all, I'm so sick of George, and he's not funny at all. He's like so...
I loved him at first, but now it's like...
He's turned into like a creepy, rapey pervert.
Yeah.
He skews me out, and I don't want him on the show anymore. I like want to write a letter to Bravo saying, like, for anyone that's ever been like sexually... Assaulted in their life. I think that he's like a horrible person to have on the show. I'm serious. Anyway, I've not that I have or anything. I'm just saying I have compassion towards anyone who has.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so it's he's just awful. Anyway, so that was Luann's defense. I agree with you that she should have.
Well, have they not? Has Mario not talked about it? Could we not squash it? At this point, Jacques and Luann don't want to continue to talk about it. Yes, it's unresolved in terms of they should just own up to it, but they haven't.
I think if they owned up to it, people would stop talking about it.
Either way, it was the husband fought for the wife. The honor was saved. Move on.
Another thing is, like, he did that last week at the dinner party.
Yep.
if Aviva was really so upset, that was her chance to say something, and that's right. Why I really firmly agree, believe that she has nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, like
these
we
women.
Take two steps back. I for
agree,
every
and
step
I
forward.
And I do think Aviva, this is a new scenario for her to be in with cameras in her face, and I would probably be the same way, where they want us to create drama, and I don't want to get fired, so maybe I'll say something now. I can see how that can happen.
I think that's what's going on, because quite frankly, she doesn't bring enough drama to the show to justify staying. Unless she does stuff like this.
Yeah, I agree.
But she seems forced and fake.
Yeah.
It doesn't really seem like who she is. And then she's on a blog talking about how much she loves these people that she's attacking in the episode. It's like, who are you? How do you really feel?
Yeah.
Well, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I love how they attack Jacques' accent. We did that too. And I know Heather was really upset about that, but I could see why. Obviously, we've talked about this before. Why do you think they think it's fake? Is it fake? Is he faking his
he
accent?
He just sounds like he literally sounds like Pepe Le Pew. I've said this before. He sounds like this animated cartoon version of what a French person is. And again, I said, you know, people in France aren't going around wearing berets and like singing love songs and carrying baguettes.
Yeah, they are. But have you been there?
Yeah, and yes, I have. And
they're
I will
walking
say
puppies and eating crepes. That's all they do.
Some of the men are actually pretty like forward.
Said it's crap.
Whatever.
It's crap.
See, that's the thing, though. All French people sound like that.
Oh, my God.
Crep. They sound
okay,
like crep.
I'm going to go ahead and
yes, this is Pepe Le Pew.
Nice.
This is literally exactly what he sounds like. Everyone listen. Luan, I want your baby.
No, is it not? No, yes.
It's literally Jacques.
That guy actually speaks better than Jacques.
Right, and Jacques is even more muffled. And that's actually Mel.
That's Mel Blanc.
Mel Blanc.
I understand why it's a Mel Blanc. I'm saying that when Jacques speaks, it's much more muffled.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead. Wow.
I wish that's what it was like.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you guys. Honestly, it's just the way he sounds. Yes, he's French. French people have a variety of accents and dialects just like American people do.
Only one.
And yes, some of them say jacuzzi. But if you're going to, or jacuzzi, if you're going to correct them, don't correct them by saying it's jacuzzi.
I mean, Ramona looks so
jacuzzi
stupid.
Jacuzzi in English, jacuzzi with a j. In French, it's je. That's how he speaks. He is French. He speaks French, and some people have that harsh accent.
Well, it's almost like if you're, you know, like the British
everybody
accent.
Needs to just,
some people sound
regard,
like the Queen
I
of England.
I totally get Heather. It's what the heck are we doing ripping on his accent? He's French.
Well,
let it go. If you're gonna berate him for the dumb joke he played.
Did you say berate him? Just kidding.
Nice.
But, but I will say
right.
though, I will say that Heather, because she doesn't like Ramona, will look at that a lot worse. If she didn't like Jacques, she would maybe be a little bit more on board with mimicking Jacques.
Okay, but how hypocritical is Ramona so angry at Heather? This is what, twice, and she stormed off both times. You're talking behind my back. I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear it anymore. You're talking behind my back.
Right, and then she
as she's like standing in a group talking about how Jacques isn't really French. It's so hypocritical. I wanted to punch her.
It is, yeah.
Smash her face into the wall. That's how mad it made me.
Did you guys notice her
you
head?
To punch her eyes back in.
I did.
Did you notice her head when, that's funny, when Heather was talking about them talking about Jacques and Ramona's head was in the back like a bobblehead, like, are you talking about me? Are you talking about me?
She's just, I don't know.
She's lost it.
I'm over it.
I'm just going to say
over
this.
Her now.
I'm just going to say
her.
This. From the point of view of someone who speaks another language other than English, I just think that if you consider yourself the elite or the higher echelon of New York society, if you basically clown somebody and accuse them of not being French when they clearly are and just say that his accent is fake, you've just basically undermined your ability to call yourself a worldly, intelligent individual.
Yeah.
Well, she already did that by signing onto the show.
I mean, especially since after, like 3 seconds prior, Aviva actually says to Jacques in French that he's mean. So you obviously accept the fact that he's French because you just spoke French to him. You know, so I just, that was ridiculous to me. If you're going to fight about stuff, fight about things that are real, not whether or not it's his accent is.
Stupid.
It's very
and
weird
by the way,
to debate someone's
I'm
race.
So sick of Aviva going, you're not nice and you're so mean. Like, it's fifth grade. It's like, these aren't school children. And if they want to be cruel, they can be. And if they don't want to be nice, they can be. They're adults. They can be however they want. I'm so sick of it. It's driving me crazy. Aviva really got on my nerves. Just have to vent. Yeah. Oh, and that's the other thing.
Uh-oh.
Who was it? Somebody in their blog said, oh, talking behind the back isn't talking behind the back. It was Sonia. She goes, I don't call it talking behind the back. I call it venting. Yeah. Which is what we do on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
We vent about
these people. It's healthy to vent.
I feel like we know them. So.
I will say, though, that Aviva did approach Luann and Jacques to their face. So Aviva wasn't starting it behind their back, which I thought was fair. And then when Heather came over and said, you know, I just don't, Heather looked like she was going to cry.
She kind of did.
She did.
Yeah.
But she said, I just don't think that's nice to do that. Aviva said, well, we did just talk to Luann, to them. So, I mean, not that it justifies talking about them as they walk away, but they did go ballsy a little bit and at least say it to their face first. Anna?
No, I'm actively listening.
That was a weird dichotomy. That was a weird dichotomy too, that they had all of them mic'd up, and then they had Carol and Heather right just around the corner. They lowered their mic down. Then the three of them were talking about Jacques. Then they lowered the Sonia and Aviva's mic, and then raised up Carol. And then we got a chance to see like two people talking just around the corner about each other. That was just awkward. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm obviously verklempt. I don't know what this expressionism is. I don't know what that is.
I think we
Turkish.
Have
Turkish. Not really Turkish.
I think we have
Turkish.
See.
I think we have about 5 minutes left.
Okay.
So I just want to touch upon real quick the Heather and Ramona thing that it will continue. It, as we saw, it said to be continued, which I thought was hilarious. It's like, yes, of course it's going to be continued.
Right.
This is the whole series about.
Yeah.
But I really want to do our special segment in news before we have to go.
Lovely.
So. Phil, please chime in our special segment sound, the horns, please. Dun 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 dun. Close. It's a little more 90s this time. Anna, you said you had a couple?
I have several. So this is all in regard to Sonia at the photo shoot. The first thing she said was, I have to go to the bathroom to change my tampon. What she should have said was, excuse me, I must use the restroom.
Yeah. I don't even know if we need to say what she should have said anymore. Just say what she actually said. Let the drum roll roll.
I add something to that, first of all. I don't believe that she's young enough to still have a period.
My lungs.
Jeez. Come on, the woman's like, she's like in her 50s and she's like, oh, wait, hang on, guys, I just got my period. It's like, yeah, you want us to think you're 40 and we all know you're really like 55.
Right, well,
so please.
My piggyback off that was her line that she said, this is why I'm so cranky, yes. I lose a lot of blood.
Yes.
I so thought gross. She should have said, so this gross. Is why I'm so cranky, I'm like 50 and I still get my period. But then.
Then she
What's
said,
next?
Then she said, if we threw Aviva's leg in in here and my blood, they'd be like, murder.
Oh my God.
What that she should have awesome. Said was anything but that. That was horrendous. Yeah. It was. Anyway.
What they should have said is someone's missing a leg.
Yeah. Hey.
Somebody's leg got cut off in the bathroom.
So
can somebody do something about that?
Someone fix these sinks. Yeah. Someone fix the toilet. No, all right.
Yeah.
In the same scene, she said, I do not have dead eggs, the Countess May. And what she should have said was, if Luann would like, I'll carry her baby.
Okay.
Or not anything.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that was. Yeah.
I'll be the surrogate.
I have also one from when they were at Carol's white elephant party. Sonia said Carol had received the lizard. And what Sonia said was, she's single, she has no kids, and she can care for the lizard. And that's why it's a perfect gift
that's
for
why
her.
It's a gift.
It's like she's a loser, and she's alone, and I'm glad I didn't touch the lizard.
And
I
she
been
can
mad.
Take care of a reptile.
Right. What she should have said was, oh, a lizard. How nice.
Yeah. Oh, weird. Cool. Yeah. Look, it's squiggly.
It's a cool gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The one from Ramona's launch party when Luann walked in and saw the magazines and said, is that you? !! She should have, what I'm glad, what she was saying, not what she should have said, but what she actually was saying was, you don't look that good in person. That's what she was actually saying.
Oh, my God. Luann had that one. I don't understand that either. Like, I understand you want to wax like you're French, but why speak French to someone who doesn't speak French? Or at least I'm assuming. Why would you tell George, why would you say to George charmant in French to say charming? He's an old Jewish guy from Florida. Like, what? Just say charming. Why would you go charmant?
She's pretentious.
Why?
That's why.
Why?
Pretense.
Yeah, and almost like Chanel number 5. Charmant. She should have said just charming. Done.
She's in a perfume ad every day.
Yeah,
life.
Exactly, apparently.
Molly?
Okay, I guess I have two. When Luann showed up at Carol's party and told her Jacques wasn't going to be able to come, Carol should have said, awesome. But she didn't. And then the other one was when...
It's a twist.
When Luann... when Luann and Heather were talking about how Heather was helping out Sonia on set and, you know, Heather was complaining about how she was doing it all for free and this and that, Luann said, well, no good deed goes unpunished. And what she should have said was, you're never supposed to do good deeds.
Yes. Okay. We live in New York. We know that.
Yeah.
We see the people on the street. We walk by.
Yes.
We got it.
Keep on moving. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it for our special segment.
Mm-hmm.
And news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Miss Anna, do you want to kick us off?
Well, Sonia has a new look. She's rocking red hair and large breasts. So
bigger, like new implants?
Yes. So I would highly recommend checking out. There's some shots on Bravo.
I'm just picturing Carrot Top right now for some reason.
You know, she actually looks
huge
really good with
really?
The red hair.
Really?
It's surprising. But
is it a darker shade or a brighter shade?
It's very much a Jill Zarin shade, actually.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, but it looks great. She looks great. Her new breasts look great.
Maybe next season she'll be on Orange County Housewives.
Maybe.
Maybe she's just because of her period. She grew in the boobs. A lot of hormones raging there.
easy. Easy. Then they're also, Sonia had a huge bruise on her arm.
She did,
it was giant. I couldn't find any news about it, but I did find that last season, Sonia had a masquerade ball. I don't know. And she, like, forgot to put on her petticoat. And Jill Zarin said that she had a huge bruise on her rear end that was in the shape of a handprint. So I don't know if that's something she's into, just being very kinky, or...
Was it from George slapping her here and there when they were all hanging out, or copping a feel here and there from... I don't know, maybe, because he was all hands on deck.
It was from the guy who came over and fixed her pipes.
Now that's a possibility.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Do you have any other news?
That's it.
All right, cool. And let's get into predictions real quick before we sign off.
Oh my God. And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
I predict that Aviva will not have an awkward transition to tell the ladies how mad she is about the charity party that they missed.
Yeah.
I think she's going to go into that, like, that is going to be a big thing, and she's going to get, like, deep into it, and it's going to be natural.
You don't think she'll be like, can you pass the butter, and then, like, scream? like she does.
She's like, you know, this butter really reminds me of the leg that you guys didn't donate. Anyone else predictions?
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
Thanks for the alley-oop.
My prediction is that Carol will have nothing to relate to or to do with these people by the... Yeah. I mean, honestly, what are we on? Show? We're episode 11. There's, what, 20 in a season? This thing is coming apart the seams for me. I don't really understand how this whole thing is going to last like two episodes, let alone another, I don't know, nine. So
stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Yeah, stay tuned. And I feel like Carol is like now a lone wolf in a world where everyone around you is crazy. Carol knows nothing of what to do. Tune in next week. I'm like, I don't know.
She's really actually just on The Walking Dead. That's what this is.
Unbelievable.
Anyone else?
I predict that Russ Irwin's hair will soon be as long as Carol. Starting to look like twins.
Nice.
Those two.
Anna?
I don't have any real predictions. Obviously, there's going to be a falling out between Aviva and Sonia and Ramona. That's all I got.
Awesome. Well, thanks for tuning in. Listen next week for episode number 12. And thanks for listening this week. And remember, rate and comment. And remember, I'm sorry. Talk to you soon.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.